morning. Call the November 27th, 2012 County Council meeting to order. Everybody got Thanksgiving, I guess, and got plenty to eat, a lot of turkey left over, and that kind of stuff, it's a good thing. We all get a few more pounds up here, I'm sure, at least I did. Approve the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Yes, good morning, Mr. President, thank you. A one amendment to the agenda this morning. Under executive session, we can strike job applicants' qualifications.
Okay. Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Phillips, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carries.
I do have a question about the agenda for future.
Ma'am.
I have some folks who are very concerned about Route 1 safety around the Rehoboth-Lewis-Dewey area. In the future, maybe we could put some, have some folks from DelDOT come tell us what they're doing about it. And I know that the folks who talk to me would like to have something to say, too. So whenever it's convenient, I would like to get that on the agenda.
Okay. Mr. Lawson to work on that, and he'll make sure that you're aware of what it's going to be.
Thank you very much.
Certainly. We had the minutes of November 13th. Any questions, corrections, or concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. There's one letter from Western Sussex Farmers Market, Inc. Dear Sussex County Council, the Board of Western Sussex Market would like to thank you for the $500 grant. This enabled us to continue to promote and operate the market during the 2012 season. The market had a successful season with approximately 2,500 customers attending. 13 vendors provided a variety of local produce, eggs, honey, baked goods, and ice pops made with natural ingredients. Vendors grossed $20,483. Again, thank you for partnering with the Western Sussex Farmers Market. And that's the only correspondence I have,
Council,
Mr. President.
I have a thank you, Mr. President, from the benefit to walking for the homeless there, walkathon that was held back in September. But anyway, they sent us a thank you for our efforts.
Anything else from Council? Mr. Lawson.
Yes, first item on the agenda today is the discussion of Denerec's proposed changes to on-site wastewater and treatment disposal systems, the Chesapeake Bay tidal areas.
I had the occasion to look at this a little further, and here are some points about this that were not, I think, fully discussed last week. I don't fault Denrec. They didn't have too much time, and I guess the points that they felt were the most important. But as you look through this, you'll see there's a number of areas that should concern us. Anyone who cares about property rights. But I know that this council has said that they did not want to collectively notify those folks along the Nanticoke and the Broad Creek about this regulation. It may be something I do individually, but at this point I'm hoping that the press, who I'll certainly make this sheet available to, would pick up on it, and those folks can be notified through their newspapers or WBOC. But from a council's perspective, I think the last one, 5.5.57, should concern us, because we are in the business of maintaining the records for deed transfers, settlements, transfer taxes. So much of our operation is in the area of property transfers. And this regulation is really going to gum up that system that we have now. It appears that Denrec is going to have veto authority over all property transfers. And the impression was given last week that maybe this wouldn't affect too many properties. They were strong to point out that any property that wasn't totally in that 1,000-foot buffer area would not be affected. But when I looked into it further, there's actually 2,400 parcels that are going to be affected by this. And as those properties transfer, you can see that they're saying that this permit for an innovative system is personal What that means is that this is something that each property owner is going to have to request. It's not something that could be established by the property itself, but rather it's personal and can only be transferred with written permission from DENRAC. And I guess from the council's perspective, I just would like maybe our legal team to look at this. Recorder of Deeds may have an interest in this, and all the settling attorneys in Georgetown, I think, also would be interested in this, because with 2,400 properties being affected, it certainly could become an issue very quickly.
Well, in my district, we have a number of systems that have failed and are still failing, and so I think I want to make sure that what we do takes that into account, because we had some serious problems, and I don't think that DENRAC has made a habit of inspecting. They certainly, they don't go around and inspect. It goes bad, and maybe it's been bad for 7 years. I have one just like that. And you're worried about the drinking water there. So it is a problem, at least in my district.
Well, inspections is another important point of this, because those property owners, those 2,400 property owners who ultimately are going to be required to have these systems, are going to have inspections. I believe they said twice a year, which could
every
be...
6 months, they're
not doing it now, no, obviously. But then you wind up with a system that's leaking for 7 years, like we have on Plantation Road, and now the drinking water is threatened. So, which way do you want to go? How about I think we should be reasonable in what we do.
Joe, may I ask, how can a septic system leak?
It's a sewage treatment plant.
Oh, the whole septic system is a leaking. It actually goes into the holding tank. It holds the solids. And then on, everything runs out.
This is a sewage treatment.
All water runs
spray.
Out, so the whole system is a leaker.
It's a sewage treatment plant.
So when you say it leaks, that's almost sounds like Natural Resources, who they don't know what they're talking about either.
Well, Joan, it does, if it is a central sewer system.
It's a private system that was approved by the county, and DENRAC evidently wasn't aware that it was not working correctly. Whatever. It's finally getting done now. Tidewater's taking over the system, but there's a lot of repairs that have to be done, and I'm concerned about the people who live there,
Well, if a system's not working to start with, it's not putting nothing out there. That's the end of it. That's where it's clogged up. That's the end of it. So to say it's creating a drinking water problem, that's really a false statement in a sense.
Well, Tidewater tells me they have to test the drinking water on a regular
Tidewater
basis.
Trying to sell systems.
I got it. I just got a comment on this. I sell real estate, as one of my occupations that I got. I showed a house to a young man the other day, and the house had, is one of these 2,400 properties out there in the country. And there's a house, and then there was a garage that had been converted to, more housing, and stuff, and it was actually being rented. And so it's all on this, one system. So I cautioned the purchaser. I said, if you buy this, I'm sure that the permit doesn't, permit all this on this one system. And many people don't understand. They come from other areas, and they come to our, to an area that has septic systems. They've been on central systems. They don't get it. So I look at it also, guys, I hate to say this, as some consumer protection. Somebody comes in, buys a piece of property, they ought to have some kind of knowledge that the system in the ground is either operating or not operating, so they'll understand the potential for costs after they end up owning the property, and they have a fallback position. So I think it's like the many disclosures they do now in real estate. It's another disclosure. I'm not talking about the two inspections a year. I'm talking about that last one Vance referenced here, where when a property has to transfer, I don't see it being a real problem to have it inspected to see if it's working and to see if everything jives, because it can be very expensive, Sam, if you go into this and you don't know what you're doing, and there's a lot of people just aren't familiar with this stuff.
Well, what inspection would you have?
I don't know. Whatever the DNR. I'm not an expert.
Pull off two lids and see if it's a...
taste test.
Is it got anything in it or not?
I don't know.
I don't think that's we're going to get off track here a little bit.
Right, but anyway, that's just my...
Well, it happens to be that I was in the septic business for years.
Uh-oh.
I haven't installed septic systems.
Were you licensed?
So I got a general idea of knowing what you're talking about here.
Sure. Right. I understand.
We have a lot of cesspools in
but
my
it's,
district.
It's a two-edged sword, and I would just think, it's a state issue. Let the representatives and the senators, work this out so
yes.
that the people are protecting. It's an area that we're not involved in, and I don't think we should get involved in.
George, this morning from Bethany Beach, where you're from, a guy got fined for Black Friday for working out there, $150. Is that the kind of regulation we're going to try to go to?
So you've made a correlation from the town of Bethany Beach to this septic issue?
Well, it's all the same thing. We're just talking about more regulations, right. more regulations. That's what we're talking about. Just regulate us to death.
Okay, well, we're not doing it, Sam.
Well, we're not smart enough to look Sussex, after ourselves.
Sam, Sussex County Council is not over-regulated.
Mr. Phillips, we're back to you again. anything else you want to, and you want Mr. Moore to have this, review this, do you say?
Yeah, and of course, any of the media could obtain a copy of it from our clerk of the council, Robin, if any of these aren't available. Again, I do feel like notifying those folks of the issue is important.
Absolutely.
Let's have Todd write a letter to DNREC, say that we, Sussex County Council, recommends that they notify. Let them do it. It's their burden.
I second the motion.
Yeah, and have them do it. So I would highly recommend a unanimous decision. Are you on?
Oh, yeah.
Back up, back up, back up.
Come on, let's go.
Are you making a motion?
I'll make the motion that the Sussex County Council, under Mr. Todd Lawson's signature,
send a letter
supporting the council's thoughts on that we think everybody should be notified that's going to be affected by this.
And we'll even provide them the database, which I've
Hopefully they have it.
No, I doubt that.
Well, I don't know, but anyway.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Phillips.
I'm wondering what the limits would be of those notices. What areas are we talking about? The whole county?
No, ma'am.
Just that particular watershed over in Nanticoke.
Okay, all right.
That should probably be part of the motion then.
Mr. Lawson, you understand the motion that we'll offer that database. They don't have the database.
I do, yes.
Okay. Any questions on the motion?
No.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Cole.
Yes, no, I'll get something done.
Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. First order of business today is recognition of the employee of the fourth quarter. The employee of the fourth quarter winner is John Norris of our data processing department. John began employment with Sussex County on December 8th, 2006 as a programmer. Over the last year, John has been called on to do multiple tasks due to the implementation of our new ERP system. He adds life and humor to the meetings with his positive and can-do attitude. Even under a lot of stress, he always stays focused and is great with time management. John has made this project a great success and should be recognized for his efforts. The county is fortunate to have someone that possesses great determination and dedication to make this project and other tasks a complete success. John was nominated by Gina Jennings, Director of Accounting, and we have a tribute that states John Norris, Sussex County Employee of the Quarter, fourth quarter 2012. The Sussex County Council extends its thanks and congratulations and directs this tribute to be presented to John on the 27th day of November 2012, signed Michael H. Vincent, President. Congratulations, John.
All right.
Sam, I know why it's stressful. He's got to work for all those women.
He's lucky. He's just plain lucky.
It's a wonder he doesn't have another day off.
Huh?
It's a wonder he doesn't have to have every day off. Every other day off.
I think we ought to give him every third day off.
Come on, boys. Come on.
Motion.
only for him, because he's under the stress, Robin.
I got people. I don't know.
That's how he made employee of the year. And
yeah, this is a request.
Yeah. Congratulations. Thank you for all you do for the county.
We've done both before. Would you like
thank you, John.
Any questions about the ERP now, we go to you, right?
Congratulations. Now back to work.
So this will go somewhere. This will be Kelly. Because you want to join the milk team, right?
I'm telling you. We've been off so long here. I'm going to try to make sure everybody's working.
They might.
The next item of business is the county administrator's report. Number one, per the attached public notice, the Delaware Department of Transportation is hosting a public workshop in Sussex County to discuss the findings of the Delaware Aviation System Plan Update Phases 1 and 2. The workshop is open to the public and will be held on Wednesday, November 28th, from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center, 21911 Rudder Lane, Georgetown, Delaware. The workshop will look at the classifications of public use airports and heliports in Delaware's aviation system and will generate ideas from the public in formulating the course of action and priorities for airport development. Comments will be received at the workshop or could be mailed to DelDOT Public Relations, P.O. Box 778, Dover, Delaware, 19903, or sent via email to dotpr@state.de.us. Number two, a reminder for the annual Caroling on the Circle program will take place on Monday, December 3rd at 6:30 p.m. in front of the Sussex County Courthouse. This is a free event sponsored by the Sussex County Council each year. Everyone is welcome and encouraged to attend and to bring a food item for the less fortunate if they can afford to do so. Hot chocolate and cookies will be served at the Georgetown Fire Hall after the program. The Pack the Pod campaign will remain in effect and in full swing until the end of December. Item three, per the attached Delaware State Police activity report for September, there were 3,612 total traffic arrests and 1,473 criminal arrests. Of that, 1,473, 491 were felony, and 982 were misdemeanor criminal arrests. Of the total hours spent on duty, 43% were spent on criminal arrests. And lastly, it is with great sadness that we inform you of the passing of former finance director George F. Perper, Jr., who passed away Thanksgiving Day at Nanticoke Memorial Hospital in Seaford. Mr. Perper joined the county in 1977 to review assessments and was elevated shortly thereafter to the position of finance director, which he held until his retirement in January 1992. Mr. Perper came to the county after working with DuPont Company in Seaford. He was an accomplished violinist in his youth, a World War II veteran, and a graduate in chemical engineering from the esteemed Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Cambridge. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. Thursday, November 29th at St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Laurel. County flags will be lowered in his honor through Thursday. The county extends its sympathy and appreciation for the years of service to Mr. Perber's family. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question, Mr. Lawson? I would just ask, Mr. Lawson, that you try to schedule at the Caroling on the Circle time for Mr. Cole for a solo.
What's that?
I will do that.
Mr. Cole sing a solo at the Caroling on the Circle.
I'm glad. Yeah, he's a very good singer.
Yeah, I think that's something easy.
And don't forget to show up, George.
So low you can't hear him.
Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I have on the agenda today an ordinance to be introduced, and the short title would be an ordinance to amend Chapter 52, Section 52-18C and E of the Code of Sussex County in regard to the sealing of drawings, specifications, etc., by an architect and or engineer. The reason for this introduction is due to the fact that our code is at odds with the professional engineers and architects codes in what is required to be sealed. And there's been discussions over actually several years now, and I think it goes to a prior council concerning that as to what documents are sealed by architects and engineers. This would be to introduce the ordinance after our discussions with the Deputy Attorney General. I've had discussions with several who represent both groups, and then be a public hearing at, once it's scheduled.
Now, when it says engineer, it means like a P, a civil or
yes,
P, whatever. And then on the architect, landscape architect?
I'm not sure which type of architect. I think Mr. Parker is here if there are any questions on that. And, of course, that would be discussed at the public
hearing. But I know this has been very controversial throughout this city.
What this actually is to bring our code into compliance with state law.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'll introduce it.
Mr. Cole, introduce it.
And it would be good to have somebody from the other counties know what they're doing about it.
Is Eddie, do you, Is a landscape architect qualified? You're not too sure either? Okay.
Mr. Parker, would you come forward, please?
He doesn't have an answer, right? That's all right.
No. Oh, you don't have an answer? That's fine. That's fine.
No, that's okay.
Thank you.
No,
Thank you.
He's not sure either.
It was introduced. That's correct.
Yep.
And it's
okay. All right.
Done.
We'll schedule this for a public hearing and move forward. Not quite 10:30 yet, so.
We'll get phone calls.
We will go to Hal Godwin, wastewater agreement.
Mr. President, members of council, we have one wastewater agreement for your consideration this morning. It is Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Forest Landing Phase 2C, Agreement Number 343-5. The developer in this case is Mr. David Dombert of Gaithersburg, Maryland, and the location will be at the intersection of County Road 368 and Road 84. It will become part of the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District, serving some 74 single-family lots and townhouses. The system connection charges total $379,694. We do have approval of our engineering department as well as DENREC, and we're expecting 90 days of construction, with a construction administration and construction inspection cost totaling $23,699.55, with a proposed construction cost of $157,997. I have a motion, if you
please read your motion, sir.
Mm-hmm. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 343-5, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Forest Landing Communities, LLC, for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Forest Landing Phase 2C, located in the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District.
I'll make the motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Let's move to old business.
Which is the Clerk of the Peace.
Yes, Mr. President, at the last meeting there was some discussion. There was a public hearing on the issue of changing the fees related to the Clerk of Peace for married ceremonies and civil unions. At the request of the Clerk of Peace, we had drafted an ordinance that indicated there would be lower fees charged for those who were in active military. Mr. Phillips brought up some suggestions that we may want to waive the fee for those who are in active military and for veterans as well. During this discussion, there were some questions concerning who would be considered a veteran. We have looked at the ordinance, and we had read into the record possible changes by adding a section L last time. And what I have done, I have drafted some changes in these. The first one would be Delaware resident rates for all active military. And then we have another one, no fees for active military only, and then no fees for active military and veterans. And for the veterans, so there'd be a clarification, we refer to the IRS code as the determining body to determine whether or not someone was a veteran or not. And that is defined in Internal Revenue Manual 4.76.26.2-1, so that there would be no doubt if someone was a veteran or not. So we do have drafts. The short title is the same in each, and as we indicated last time, it's my feeling that you can make these amendments because after the public hearing, because this information was discussed as part of the public hearing, and it all relates to the short title as drafted. So the public did have notice that we were discussing the fees.
So what we have, basically, you have, we have three options.
That is correct. If you want to go with, you know, just vet, as Mr. Parrish had originally introduced it, or if you want to waive the, for just the active duty, or active duty and veterans.
Okay.
Well, I'd personally like to keep it as simple as possible as far as definitions are concerned, and I like the ordinance that he introduced, the way he introduced it, and that would be, I think it was no fee for active military, is that correct? And anyway, that's what my thought is, that it should be no fee for active military.
The ordinance as introduced had a fee.
Well, I think it should be no fee.
For?
Active military.
Okay. Does someone care to make a motion?
How about if a person just got came home from Iraq or Afghanistan, and just got out last week, and going to get married 2 weeks later? They're not active. Why shouldn't they be entitled after serving all these years in active combat?
They would be the veteran.
It's either you're either in or out. You're either.
Well, honey, I'll just explain it to you. They spent 2 years, 3-4 years in active military. They didn't get no big paychecks. They served with their, some of them lost their limbs, whatever. They came home, they've only been home 2 or 3 weeks. They want to get married. To me, that certainly is a qualification.
Mr. President, I think it might be advisable to have Mr. Parrish come forward, because I believe that the original ordinance that Mr. Parrish introduced indicated or any active United States military personnel, regardless of residences, shall be $50 each. Mm-hmm. Is that correct, Mr. Parrish? It was not waived for the active.
So there was a fee with number one. Number two is just waive active duty, and then number three would be waive active and veteran. And I think that we did ask Mr. Parrish last week before he left the financial impacts of one, two, or three, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, all of them were minimal.
First, I will pass down how it is drafted for no fees for active military only, and then I do have extras for the press if you want to get at the
the first one. The first one is going to be the no fee
for active military only.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I believe I made enough for the press, plus for some of the public. To... Yes.
The clerk would have some, have some discretionary power here, don't you think?
In what way?
I mean, you know, in deciding if a person is no longer...
Parrish, you come forward, please.
...enrolled in the service, but did just serve. I mean, you know, like Sam was talking about.
At that point, you'd be a veteran as opposed to active duty. And I think the ordinance does need to establish
what
those are, instead of allowing someone, you know, because then the accusation could be that someone was waiving fees for their friends. So I think it does need to be.
Once we put an ordinance for him, it becomes law. So
that's
has to follow law. Isn't that correct, Mr. Parrish?
Right. That is correct. But the comment that was voiced by a Councilman Wilson is correct.
Yes.
We've had some people, depends how you define the word veteran and what the effective date from what point forward. We've had many people from Afghanistan and Iraq asking for that privilege, not necessarily World War II veterans or Korean or Vietnam. So not only may I recommend to the council, you decide what definition you want for veterans, but what day is the commencing date, because then we have to take a look at that and have a date that provides us an opportunity to review the law, the IRS regulations, and how to implement it.
Pass out the next one.
Okay.
Another definition.
The next one, and what I've done, I've highlighted the changes between the two. And the first, and I've put a little title at the top. The first one you have was no fees for active military only. This was no fees for active military and veterans. And on this, if you look on L, there shall be no fee for any services set forth in 62-16 for any active United States military personnel or veterans, regardless of residency. For purpose of this section, veterans shall be defined as set forth in Internal Revenue Manual, and it gives the number. So that way there's no question if someone is a veteran or not. The clerk can have that code just printed out and see what they are.
Mm-hmm. And that, in this case, what Mr. Parrish was talking about, unless we put some kind of a date, this would be anyone who is a veteran, could be World War II, Korean War, could have served any time, hadn't been serving in time of war, mm-hmm. anybody that's a veteran. Mm-hmm.
That is the way this is drafted.
Which is a much broader scope.
Yeah.
Right. I just always wanted to get concerned about the National Guard, because I know the National Guard's status has changed today as it was when I was in.
Oh, sure.
And earlier, so we don't have a clarification really on how the National Guard fits into the IRS's scheme of things.
No, I've not had a
without
chance.
Reading it, okay. Well,
it does.
It does.
I, if you'd like, I could read the IRS definition I have in front of me.
Please, Mr. Law.
Veterans are defined as present or former members of the United States Air Force. The IRS defines the military or naval forces of the United States in the term armed forces of the United States as including all regular and reserve components of the uniformed services which are subject to the jurisdiction of the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of the Army, Secretary of the Navy, and the Secretary of the Air Force. Each term also includes the Coast Guard and the National Guard.
Mm-hmm. I can get married now. Mm-hmm.
Then what we would do is we would ask them, and that is quite correct when Councilman Phillips was asking, even if you are in the reserves for 6 months and you have 2 years and in the 5.5 years, that's under the Veterans Administration, that's not considered a veteran. But under the definition the county administrator read, we would consider that a veteran if that's the will of the council.
You're on call.
Well, they're veterans of veterans, regardless.
No, sir. I happen to be, I'm a living example of a person who's in the reserves for 6 years. I'm not considered a veteran. I do not have the rights to be buried in a veterans cemetery. But that's a different definition.
By that definition, you are a veteran.
By this definition, it's anybody and everybody. I would qualify under that definition.
I never knew of any other definition but one he just gave.
Believe me, I'm a living example. That's why I'm sensitive to the definition.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I just never.
And as a reserve, you were available should war break out to be.
Correct, but I'm not considered a veteran.
Somebody's told you wrong.
Yeah. I would submit that you direct your attention to the Veterans Administration, because I lost that discussion.
What Mr. Lawson read, what were in this ordinance, is the IRS.
That is correct.
Nothing to do with Veterans Administration.
They're the boss.
Well, it controls the money, controls the world.
I personally think this one's the cleanest. We have an official definition from the IRS. It's pretty clean, and this is the one that I would like to make the motion to include.
Okay, first, what we would need to do, because we did have an ordinance, introduced, yep. We would need to amend it. And it would be amended by waiving all fees for active United States military personnel and veterans, and taking through each of the subsections, deleting the words any active United States or for any fees in each of those, and adding a section L that shall state there shall be no fee for any services set forth in this 62-16 for any active United States military personnel or veterans, regardless of residency. For purpose of this section, veterans shall be defined as set forth in the Internal Revenue Manual, section 4.76.26.2.1.
Mm-hmm. And that's waiving all fees.
That would be waiving all fees. So there would need to be a motion. As I just read, mm-hmm. amending it in the original ordinance, as I just read.
We would need a motion to amend it and then a motion to approve it as amended.
That is correct. And when we take the second step, we will need to put a date that it becomes effective mm-hmm. as well.
Mr. Parrish?
I assume the council is addressing, we're discussing fees for the licenses and fees for the officiating activities only.
We only changed that part of the ordinance that you had approved for United States military licensing. Personnel and veterans.
Thank you.
But
no,
it's for licensing,
changes.
Right? Only licensing. So.
fees for licenses and fees for officiating certain.
The memorable marriage, whatever that is. Yeah.
That is a very distinctive term.
I'm sure it is.
You got that paid? That's patented.
Whatever
it's
it is.
It's an infringement.
Who knows?
You've been talking about it.
So we have a motion, Mr. Phillips, second Mr. Cole, to amend the proposed ordinance as read by Mr. Moore into the record.
Yes.
A question on that motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I'll vote yes. Now we need a motion to approve the proposed ordinance as amended.
Yes, and put an effective date in.
Okay.
Which is what?
Whatever it want to be.
You could do January 1st, 2013. Might make sense.
Okay.
Okay. January 1.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second. Second, Mr. Wilson. To approve the amended ordinance with an effective date of January 1, 2013.
Yes.
Good. Any questions on that motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Good job.
Thank you.
Good job.
Will your office be open? We're all going to come.